And that's really what the journey is. The journey is not about me stacking ETH to buy an ape. The journey is about me finding ways to do things that I would want to do in the real world, but using the blockchain to do it and allowing people, an NFT collector, to be really proud of their purchase and know that their hard-earned money or their hard-earned ETH is going to a place that they can be proud of.
NFTs are redefining the cryptocurrency landscape and taking the world by storm. This is Ashley Smith from Fame Lady Squad, and I want to welcome you to From the Blockchain. As leaders of an all-female avatar NFT project, we want to share our insight and industry knowledge with you. We want to empower more women to participate and dominate in the NFT space. So whether you're an early adopter or just a curious learner, we hope you join us to explore the exciting world of NFTs. Hello, everybody. Really excited for today's episode. Thank you for joining us on From the Blockchain. Before we dive into what you can expect to hear on today's show, let's talk about a couple of things that are going on in the Web3 space that we're really excited about. Now, this is really, as an observer, things that we're hearing about that are going on, but stories that we certainly want to follow and see kind of where it all goes. So for myself personally, the one thing that I saw come up, and by the way, we're getting into the second week of January right now as we record this. You might be listening to it slightly later, but it'll be interesting to follow nonetheless. MasterCard announces Web3 Spotlight program to develop and launch emerging musical artists in the digital economy. So MasterCard is getting into Web3, super cool, coming in to not only support artists, but musical artists who we actually mentioned in the show is an area of interest in Web3. I personally think it's going to be a major sector in terms of blockchain innovation. Hopefully over 2023, but certainly over the next couple of years, I think it's going to be an area that's going to catapult this technology into mass adoption, because I think there's so many opportunities for musicians to benefit from it. But quick little synopsis, the MasterCard Artist Accelerator will harness Web3 technologies on the Polygon blockchain, forging new territory by connecting artists with mentors and fans in an exclusive development program. So I'm not going to get into all of it. Maybe what I'll do is link their press release in the show notes to share with you in case that's something you want to learn a little bit more about. I'm trying to see if there might be an opportunity to talk about this a little bit more on the show. So stay tuned. So that's a big one. I think by now, especially by the time you're listening to this, you will know that SBF, he pleaded not guilty for all these charges related to FTX. That's going to be a story to follow. But it's certainly, you know, we really want to focus on the good that's happening in the space, not ignoring the bad, but we want to not allow the good to be overshadowed by the negative press and the, you know, bad actors in the arena here. So speaking of which, I'm really excited to share today's episode. We spoke with our friend Travi, also known as Travi.eth in the Twitter world. He's a member of the Fame Lady Squad community. He's been around for some time. So those of you who are close to this community, you may be familiar with him. Very nice to get into learning a little bit more about his personal take on Web3. The reason for him being on the show, like what does he do? He's also a fellow podcaster. He has now two podcasts. First one and his main one being Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi, as well as he's recently been signed on as a co-host for NFT 365 Season 2 with Vanzo, which is very cool. I'm a fan of both shows. I've been on both. Many of us, I think Danielle and Kara have been on the shows as well. So you should definitely check those out. We'll make sure there's links in the show notes. But, you know, I was wanting to get into a little bit about like what's he learned, et cetera. But you're going to get a little bit more from Travi as well about some of his just philosophy as he's exploring Web3, what his journey has been, why he's here, which I think is humanizing. It's nice to hear from people kind of what they're thinking about, why this is important, what's guided them, what types of activities have they tried to steer clear from, which he gets into quite a bit. So I really enjoyed this more personal chat with Travi, getting to know him. So I hope you enjoy the show and do listen on towards the end of the show where he gets a little bit more into a project he's working on called The Journey. This is not a shill, but it's worth knowing that, you know, he's working on this project, which is a mission-based NFT project and really looking at putting funds towards grant programs where kids are being disenfranchised and their important programs in school in particular are being defunded related to art, music, theater, STEM. So he's really looking at using blockchain as a method, means to bring some value back to those communities. He is a teacher, that's his background, so it's really important to him. So it's great to hear his perspective as he looks at all this. The other thing we introduce in this show is, and I hope you enjoy it, it was really fun, it's something we're going to do moving forward, is we're going to ask ChatGPT, the AI, OpenAI program, to develop one question per show for our guest. And the reason for this is A, because it's fun, and B, to introduce different areas of innovation that are happening in the tech and web space that, you know, letting our audience know some of the things that it can do. It's a very simple ask, asking AI to come up with a question. But today I walked through a little bit about how we went about doing that and what the result was. So I hope you enjoy that. Now, don't forget, please subscribe and review the show. The higher those reviews and subscription numbers are, obviously helps us bring on quote unquote bigger guests. It just helps us lock down folks that we're hoping to get on the show, which are in turn, we hope brings more value to you, our listeners. So please do that and share after you've listened to any of the episodes on your social media platform of choice. And today's show is brought to you by Daz3D, our key sponsor. Daz3D, if you have been listening, has recently basically brought Fame Lady Squad under its umbrella, allowing us to do the good work we are looking to do, not only with that collection and business, but also with From the Blockchain. Daz3D is a leader in Web3 strategy, marketing, and full stack development. The company has partnered with iconic brands in the space and actually are working on a new collection drop with Warner Brothers Game of Thrones, which is happening, I believe, right now. So by the time you listen to this, it might be a bit late. This is not so much a shill for the projects, but more so to just showcase the type of work and scale and partners that they have. And so if you are interested in learning more about what type of partnerships you might be able to have with Daz3D, certainly you can check them out at daz3d.com. They also run one of the largest 3D creation platforms, serving millions of professional and recreational artists worldwide. So without further ado, let's get to the show. Please enjoy. Everybody, have a wonderful day. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to From the Blockchain. This is your girl, Boar Becky, also known as Ashley Smith, IRL. I'm so excited to be here with our guest today, our friend, our peer, our community member, Travi. Travi is a Fame Lady Squad holder, which I have to drop, which is very exciting. But I'm so pumped to have a casual conversation today, I think, with Travi. Travi is host of Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi podcast and co-host of NFT 365 podcast season 2 with Fanzo. Travi is a champion of utility cases and digital ownership on the blockchain. Through his time chatting with founders, creators, collectors, and thought leaders throughout Web3 and NFTs, Travi found himself advising several NFT brands. He has spoken on stages at NFT London and in Miami during Art Basel and is scheduled to speak at this year's NFT NYC in April. Now on the creator side, Travi proudly launches the Journey NFT, a grant program to support underprivileged children whose art, music, theater, and STEM programs are being defunded, as well as an artist support fund to help artists and musicians currently selling their work on the blockchain. Travi, that's a lot. How are you doing, my friend? Welcome to the show.
I think that's it. You covered it all. Everybody, have a good night. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's great to be here with you. You are, as you know, one of my favorite people in this space. I feel like you and I have developed a bit of a friendship. And I think a big part of that too is as I was kind of transitioning to the creator side of things, I started my first podcast after many months of people telling me to start my first podcast and me having imposter syndrome and then eventually being featured as a guest on a couple of podcasts. And then my wife hearing those and saying, all right, here's a microphone, get to work, start your podcast. So there was a little bit of, it's always a little bit of trepidation when you start your own thing. But one thing I have to say is that you and Kara came on my podcast in the early days and you didn't have to do that. And I, to this day, I feel like that particular conversation, at least on the podcaster side, was a turning point for me. It still remains one of the most talked about or DM'd about podcast episodes. I believe it's got The highest listener count of all of them so far. And I just, you know, I'm so thankful for you. And obviously being a trailblazer, you and Kara and Danielle in this space. And like you mentioned, anyone who's anyone is a Fame Lady Squad holder. And I've listened to every episode of this podcast. So it's cool to be on the other side of it now. So thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. And that's so nice to hear. And like, I feel the imposter syndrome, you just saying that, because I just feel like we're all just swimming around in this space, trying to figure out like where we're going, why we're here. But we all obviously feel like there's a calling in this space and kind of here for the ride, here for the evolution, to see like, where are we going to be in a year, in 2 years, 3 years? You know, where's the space going to be? I'd love to know, before we dive a little bit deeper into some of your more recent experiences, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you know, what were you doing professionally prior to Web3? How did you start, you know, dabbling in this space, et cetera?
Oh man, I feel like a lot of people have a really interesting like origin story, especially like when it relates to transitioning and bridging over into Web3. But I think to give some more context, to go back a little bit, you know, I was raised by a single mom for most of my life. So, you know, I had a strong respect for, you know, what women in this world have to go through to make ends meet. There's four kids. And, you know, over time, I realized that along with that, you know, things were not just tough for her, but they were going to be tough for me, you know, as somebody who was going to have to, you know, pick myself up a lot by my bootstraps, and I wasn't going to get a lot of stuff handed over to me. So, you know, I made sure that any investing that I can do at first was in myself, right? In my education, to give myself a little bit more leverage to get jobs, or to get, you know, to pass those interview questions or whatever people have to go through. Because at that point in my life, I didn't have a whole lot of contacts when I was just trying to come up. But, you know, it did show me that, you know, if you have the right people in your life, like I mentioned my mom, and of course, there have been some other people, but those people stay with you. Those people are there with you. And I also saw what happens when people don't stay, you know, and when people aren't there for you. And even though my undergrad was originally in a whole lot of marketing, you know, I had worked with kids as like a camp counselor or a coach and stuff. And I said, there was just always something about helping kids that really inspired me. It made me feel like I was having a little bit more of an impact, you know, than working like in an office or something like that. So I made sure I went back and I got my teaching certification. And I was a teacher of kids with special needs and behavioral disabilities for almost 2 decades. And I loved it. I absolutely thought, you know, that I was doing for these kids what I would have really wanted someone to do for me. Especially when, you know, when you're a teenager and you feel like you're alone in the world and you feel like you don't have a lot going for you. I knew that, you know, if I had that person who cared for me, right, who cared about me in the way that I show the students that I cared about them, you know, I probably would have come out of it a lot sooner. But it made me stronger. And I absolutely loved, you know, being somebody who was more of like a role model and to help these kids. So, you know, as I was continuing that experience working with kids, as I said, it's been a couple decades. Toward the pandemic time and a little bit through the end of that, I started to see that a lot of programs and things were being cut for the kids in terms of their arts and their music and things like that, because there was a lot of what we call, you know, here learning loss. A lot of kids were doing remote learning, a lot of Zoom classes, and a lot of kids weren't showing up. So I worked in the inner city in New Jersey, you know, not that far from Manhattan, you know, pretty rough area for kids. And I started to see a lot of kids stop coming to school because there were things that they thought they didn't really want to do there anymore. It was a lot of testing every month with some kind of standardized testing. And then eventually I saw some really bad things happen with some of my students who decided not to come to school that day. You know, a lot of gang stuff went on in that neighborhood. And it was very sad for me. And I said to myself at that point, I was already sort of on the collector side of the NFT space. And I said, if I ever get involved on the creator side, I'm going to do something with these kids in mind. So I feel like where I'm at now, a whole lot of, you know, thinking about these kids and how I could have a personal impact on still being a good role model, but doing it to use the power of the blockchain, I think is incredibly special. So I'm really thankful to have that opportunity. But I think what's interesting is getting involved in the NFT space for me. Just like you, I was involved and have been involved in some real estate stuff. And when I saw, I got this crypto certified realtor license where if people wanted to purchase a home with crypto, it's really just meant, I know what crypto is. It really, there was nothing overly special about the certification, but it showed that people could trust me. But what I thought was really cool was that you can sell a home as an NFT. And that showed me that this ownership thing was more, it was more than the PFP stuff that we were reading about in the news at that time that was making all the headlines. So I said, there's something really special to this. I did my research, and eventually, to kind of bring it back to Fame Lady Squad, I said, you know what? There's a lot out there. There's utility cases and stuff like that. But then I also said, there's these really cool, you know, female PFP or female-led projects, right? So I have two little girls, and I said, what would be cooler to show them kind of a sign of the times and to build their wallets for them? And that's what led me to the female-led projects, including Fame Lady Squad. And I owe a lot of that back to how I started, which was having that respect and seeing what my mom had gone through to raise the four of us. My wife works incredibly hard, so I have a lot of respect there as well, obviously. And of course, my two little daughters. So that's really what led me to that. And look at that. And now you and I are BFFs.
That's awesome. Before we move into some of the stuff you're working on, I'd love to dive like just a tiny bit on this accreditation, this crypto realtor accreditation. Is that something that's offered through the National Association of Realtors, or is that something that's like a private third party type of a thing? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's a private third party. Yeah, it's a certification, not a license.
Okay, yeah. It's so interesting though, because I think that these themes are going to be popping up as more and more folks learn. This doesn't need to be a real estate episode, but anytime I hear like what people are participating in and what kind of opportunities are out there, I just try to like signal that and pop it down in my notes. You know, here in the Vancouver region that I live in Canada, like housing is crazy, and millennials, even Gen Xers, still have such a hard time with real estate because of the housing prices. And I just keep thinking about generational wealth and new wealth and opportunities for folks who are younger, and how crypto could potentially be an unlock for some. And so I'm curious to see how that evolves and regulation around it, et cetera. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Unless there's anything you want to add, like, did you find people were, like, have you engaged with anybody around that specific offering that you're able to work with?
I found that the curiosity was definitely piqued, and it opened up conversation. Of course, you've got conversation around like people who never used it before and didn't even think it was like a real thing and thought it was just some kind of a like front scheme to do bad stuff, whichever, you know, there's bad people and good people everywhere. But it was also during a time when Bitcoin and ETH and all that stuff were pretty high, you know? So I think they were at their all time highs around, you know, at that time. So it made sense for people who got in a little early and we're able to you know, transition it over to put it into a home. Of course, there were taxes on it, right? There were still capital gains taxes on it, just like there would be on property here. So, you know, there was some stuff to that, but it's just really what I wanted to do, at least for my area, was to position myself as somebody when the time comes. I knew it wasn't going to be now, but it could be 5-10 years from now. They'll take a look back, or they'll see something that comes up. Oh, wait. I have a friend who's been doing that for 5 years, 10 years, and they'll know I know what I'm doing, and I'm not joining the in crowd who's just jumping into the pool to get those certifications now. So look, you and I both know the power of the blockchain and a lot of stuff it can do for people. People could say whatever they want about, you know, crypto highs and lows and stuff, but I do think it did open up a good conversation. There weren't a whole lot of crypto sales because I did always follow those conversations up with, and we still accept USD, by the way. And they would always laugh and be like, haha, yeah, I'm a lot more comfortable with that. So I didn't want to pigeonhole myself as the person who was just a crypto guy, but our real estate team is now multifaceted that way.
That's awesome. Okay. So I think that really speaks to your mindset though. And I love how you put that, really thinking about positioning yourself as someone who is in the know, who's staying on the pulse of trend, not just trends, but like innovation and new opportunities that are coming down the pipeline. And really, I think in order to do that, you have to be doing it at a time when it's still slightly uncomfortable. There's still some uncertainty, but you're able to observe like how it evolves, how it changes, how, you know, public appetite evolves with it, right? And as we've learned, public appetite can change very quickly depending on different factors. And so I'm wondering, with your podcast that you have, what really inspired you to get into that? Because what I'm thinking of, I mean, we both have this, I think we have very similar, you know, introductions to this space in many ways and some similar experiences. But I feel like it's just about the opportunity to learn. And I'm kind of wondering if this is your avenue into staying on that pulse.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting animal. If anyone out there hasn't done a podcast. So I spoke every day, got paid for it as my career. That's what educators do. So I'm so used to that. I really like to be a good person in my life. I like to help friends and I go into the community a lot and help. But there was something about all the little pieces of the tech that went into a podcast, and also the whole feeling of like, who the heck is going to want to hear anything I have to say, especially when I have a little bit of a cold like I do right now. Like, who's going to tune into this stuff? And eventually I found out that there are some people out there who do care, you know, and what I didn't want to do was to try to be like anybody else. There were, at the time, over the course of, I guess, 2022, there were a lot of folks who were on the influencer side, and some of them have done some really great things, and some of them have done things that gave to the public a little bit of like a, you know, bad taste in the mouth in terms of the way they look at the NFT world. So I was very careful just because of that. Like, I do, my whole thing is that I want to bring one love to Web3. Like, that, I'm a big Bob Marley fan. I have a Bob Marley tattoo right here. Daughter's middle name is Marley. There's a lot about that. I don't like the BS. Like, I don't like the Twitter drama, the Discord drama that so many NFT communities go into. I don't even really like to FUD a project. Like, if there's an issue I have, a lot of times I'll have conversations with folks, maybe in a closed group or like respectfully talk to one of the founders or whoever's there. But I don't get this whole, I'm going to go post this up for everyone to read and try to like make a name for my, I don't need to be famous, period. But what I did see was that there was an opportunity to continue to educate people out there by showing them what I was going through. And that's sort of what my podcast really is. It's not really like all the news. I love your podcast because, especially your end of the year, the three-part episode that you all did, that was perfect for something that I need to digest, right? When I listen to, as a fan of NFT 365, right? What Fanzo did every single day was he was just grinding out, and there was something new every day. And people joke about, how do you always have new content? He's like, how do I not have new content? Like, there's way too much to talk about, right? Or way too much that there's stuff I would miss, right? So what I wanted to do was just say, hey, I've not been a techie person. Like, I like to have a computer or a phone or a video game, right? Like, stuff like that. But my background was in this community outreach and really helping people. And so like my early podcast episodes, I just went in and I hit the button. And then a little while later, I was like, well, those first five episodes don't sound good at all. So I'm just going to make number six now and seven and eight, and hopefully they'll be better. I had a sound guy come. We worked on the sound tech stuff. But again, what I wanted to do was to pull back the curtain a little bit without exposing too much, not really doxing any people or anything like that. More just like, hey, I went to this event. These are the people that were there. It was great. And I got in because I own, you know, a spotty Wi-Fi music NFT. Or I spoke on NFT London. Here's a lot of the stuff that went on during NFT London. And it's really been great because it's opened up doors. And I feel like because I'm honest and because like I want to bring the one love, but I'm also not a pushover in a sense that like I'm going to I don't know how to explain it. Like, there's stuff I will walk away from, but that doesn't mean I'm going to publicly FUD it, if that makes sense. So I think people have grown to respect the fact that I'm not going to paint somebody in a negative light just because my personal experience with it. I always give people in projects, especially these projects with the 10K holders and stuff, a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. I'll joke a little bit about, you know, this and that. But I think in the long run, you know, sharing my experience with people will have them have a better understanding of it and decide if Web3 is a place that they want to make a career for themselves, or if they're still a Web2 company, how they can use the blockchain or things like that to better monetize what they're working on.
When I'm hearing you talk, what I'm thinking about is some of this entrepreneurial journey stuff that I think we're used to consuming generally. I hate referring to like Web 2 versus Web 3, but it's the way to maybe draw a line in the sand of then and now, even though I think that line is still very, very, very blurry. But I think what you're suggesting to our audience as you're talking about your experience is that there's just a lot of room for folks still to dabble in this Web 3 space and consider like what are their strength areas, what are their interest areas, and how can they get involved, even if they don't necessarily have like a 100% game plan, for example, and documenting the journey along the way. I mean, we know that that's something that's been pitched as a really good idea for probably the last, you know, 5+ years, maybe more now, of this documentation makes great content type of a thing. And Web3 is no exception. I think people are interested in what are people experiencing as they're walking this new walk, right? And so what kind of feedback do you get from your audience when you're talking about the things that you're getting into?
So I started toward the middle of August and then went through December. So there were 40 episodes in that time. And I think there might have been 3 that didn't have an interview. And I think, you know, I'll do an intro, right? And I'll close out. In the intro, I'll talk about some things that, and now those are the times where I might not have had an interview where like, I'll do like a Art Basel recap or like a NFT London recap and just kind of go through like how cool it was to meet so-and-so and my experience speaking on the stage and stuff like that, just to give people a bit of a, because a lot of folks who listen to our podcast, like still, like I know this through experience, even if they're collectors, they haven't been to any NFT live events. And I'm incredibly bullish on the IRL events and the experiences, because going to NFT London NFT NYC in June really woke me up to a lot of the things that you can access, a lot of the events you can access, a lot of the quote unquote communities you can be a part of. And I had no idea what to expect going in, because I don't live far from Manhattan. But when I go into Manhattan, generally, you have to, you know, have the black shoes on when you're going into a place, and then, you know, make sure that you're appropriately clothed, or not clothed, but attired. Be appropriately clothed as well.
Be dressed, like be wearing clothes.
Yeah, but when I saw the events for NFT NYC, it was really a come as you are kind of thing. And you know, there might be some that are more, you know, cocktail party kind of deal, but most of them you could wear exactly what I'm wearing right now, which is a black hoodie and a black hat, which of course I know you've seen.
We should let our audio listeners know that your hoodie says eat, sleep, trade, which I really like. Oh, NFTs. Eat, sleep, trade, NFTs. Awesome. Sorry, go on.
Yes. Yeah, no, it was a present for the holidays. There was something that really, it unlocked that value prop to me that was different than looking at a floor price and just flipping an NFT. Like, to be totally honest, because a lot of people get into these, you know, the NFT projects to do the flipping game. A lot of people. And, you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But there's also, you know, a lot that I don't think I would sell. And I think a big part of why I would never want to sell them is because what I got to experience in real life. So that really opened things up. And then, you know, finally meeting Fanzo in person there at NFT NYC and being interviewed on NFT 365, his podcast, but we were both hungover in the lobby after like whatever time that party the night before went to. And we have a great friendship. And now I'm a co-host on that same very podcast that I was, so nervous to be a guest on in the first place. So, you know, it just goes to say, like, as long as you're true to your why, right? I mean, why are we here? You could hide if it, not that you should hide anything, but I'm saying like people will find out your why. So if your why is to educate, then you're going to be an educator and cool. Like maybe you'll make some money along the way and hopefully you will. If your why is to make money, then cool. Then like that's going to be like the main thing that shows its head. But again, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think the point is be who you are and have like have a driving force behind you, because everything you do will really come from that. So if I came in and I was like, yeah, I want to bring, you know, One Love to Web3 and I want to do this grant fund for these kids, and I'm sitting here, I don't know, like trying to be part of some kind of like scammy thing, people will know that, you know, that I'm not telling the truth. So you just stick to your why, and I think everything else pretty much becomes just natural from there.
Can you just, in case our audience has missed it, can you just outline bringing One Love to Web3? Like what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So the one love mentality, so it says One Love inside of my wedding ring. The One Love mentality, the song One Love from Bob Marley and all the way it's used. We are of one life form. Like we are all in some way connected. And no matter which way you want to look at it, whether you want to look at it back scientifically and go back to whatever, you know, you believe in on that side, whether you talk about the Big Bang or you look at it religiously and you think about, you know, a higher power, whatever it is, we are all here, and we're all here for a very, very short amount of time. And every single one of us are no better than any other person here. Unless, of course, that other person is one of those terrible scammers or rug pullers that we're talking about. But the reality of it is that we're all going through this walk. We're all going through this life, this pathway together, and every single person can be accepted. And I know that there's so many different philosophical beliefs in terms of regions and religions and nations and politics, and I'm not even going there. I'm just talking about it from the pure, you know, humanistic sort of granular perspective. That's why I give so much benefit of the doubt. That I always say, like, maybe that person's going through something, and maybe they will, even back to the NFT side, like maybe they will announce the announcement we've been waiting for a little bit later. So, you know, sometimes, like in my mind, I'm like, I might say to myself, I should probably know better. But at the same time, I still want to provide a little bit of grace for everybody and treat everybody in a way that I really feel like not only like I want to be treated, but I want my daughters to be treated.
Mm-hmm. I see it. I think I get it now. Like for you, this is a philosophy, and this is a philosophy you're wanting to share with the community. Does that sound about right? Like this is your mentality as you're looking at Web3, as we're all kind of figuring it out.
Well, I mean, what is WAGME if WAGME is not a mentality, right? I mean, we're all going to make it in that conversation. The we means we have to take care of one another along the process. It doesn't mean we're going to make it and you're going to be my exit liquidity. So I'm going to sell you I'm going to pump and dump on you. No, like that's not what WAGME means. So I guess bring One Love to Web3 in a very similar fashion. You know, I'm not a WAGME guy, but you know, I've recently said this, and I know fans have appreciated it, but the WAGME goes away without the we. And honestly, like I need you, and you might not need me, but you're going to need somebody in this Web3, because Web3 is this interconnected sort of, you know, I don't even know. Is it a universe? Is it a multiverse? Whatever Web3 is and becomes, we're on the forefront of it now. And it's going to be what we make of it. And if you're out there, you're listening, you're a builder, you're a founder, or even if you're just a really, you know, devoted collector, you have some power at this point. You know, this isn't Facebook in like 2019. Like there's still a lot you can do here before it all really kicks off and gets going.
All right. So I'm going to introduce a little, I don't even want to call it a segment, but a new thing we're going to be doing on From the Blockchain. And it really ties in with our theme of innovation, because that's something we really want to be standing for with this podcast. And it's something that we want to be, you know, getting our hands dirty with. Like, how can we use the innovative tools that are in front of us and really incorporate them into the pod? So this is our first time. You're our guinea pig, Travi. And the big thing that, you know, over the last month, everyone's been talking about is AI. AI is not new, but I think this kind of public access to AI definitely is. So we're going to be looking at ways to even streamline some of our processes, which is really great for someone like me, who's not necessarily administratively strong. It's, I think, hopefully going to provide some really neat solutions for us kind of behind the scenes. But anyway, my whole point, we're going to be every show asking our guest an AI-generated question based on prompts that we give it. And today I'm going to go a little bit deeper than I will in the future in terms of like, what did we ask the AI to do and what did it spit out? Just so our audience gets a sense of like what this AI can do. I used ChatGPT, which is the one that I think a lot of folks have been talking about over the last little while. Certainly there are other AI tools out there. But I gave it a prompt. I'm going to read it to you. It's a little long, so excuse me. I'm trying to learn how to be more specific with the AI so it gives me what I want. So I asked ChatGPT, and I did not revise this afterwards. I just kind of let it sit. I said, I am a podcast host, and I am interviewing another podcast host as a guest on my show. We are both focused on the theme of Web3, blockchain, and NFTs on our podcasts. The guest has interviewed dozens of Web3 trailblazers and innovators over the last year. You, ChatGPT, will provide me with a succinct and thoughtful question to ask him in our interview that would bring value to a sophisticated and entrepreneurial audience thinking about how to use Web3 tools and technology in their own businesses. So that's what I asked ChatGPT to do. And even though I said succinct, it actually gave me a number of questions. I don't know if we have the time because I want to get into some of the other stuff that you're working on. But I'll read it aloud and I'll highlight the things I want you to answer for me. So it says, one question you could ask your guest is, how have you seen the adoption and use of Web3 technologies such as blockchain and NFTs evolve over the past year? I'm going to read the whole thing and then I'm going to go back and summarize that question, okay? And it's a goes forward. Have you noticed any particular industries or sectors showing strong adoption or interest in these technologies? What challenges or obstacles do you see companies facing as they consider incorporating Web3 tools into their operations? And how can these challenges be overcome? Wow, right? Like ChatGPT is now doing my job for me. So thank you very much, AI. I want to get into the project that you're working on. So I'm going to simplify this question for today. Okay. So back to the beginning. How have you seen the adoption and use of Web3 technologies such as blockchain and NFTs evolve over the past year? Travi, please. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, you know, there's a lot of smarter people than me who could, you know, answer this more succinctly. I mean, I have a personal collector side, right? And then it transitioned to the creator side. So, and I've seen a few different things. For me personally, I'm going to talk about it from that standpoint where I looked at things as first, it was, you know, just a picture where people were, maybe not over the last year, but whatever, led into the last year. I was just thinking, why would people spend so much money on a picture, of course? And then you eventually get into a little bit more of understanding, wait a second, so by holding that, now you could have access to this and now have access to this. I think that there's a couple things that I personally have seen that I like a lot from that utility side. So I'll speak to that, and then I'll speak to like one more piece of it. I think to me, two things that are holding up the market, besides obviously, you know, your folks at Yuga and everything, are NFTs that provide access and utility. So whether it's like physical claimables, whether it's real life access to events, as I mentioned, something that's like allows you to actually feel like you're part of a membership club, that you have access to things. In addition to the same way that you felt like as a holder of a Bored Ape, you probably already felt like you're part of a membership club. I think what's great is that there's a lot of people who are feeling that in different ways, who may not necessarily, you know, be part of one of those blue chip projects. And everybody can make that personal to what they're interested in, whether it's the one that came out. And I know that Board Becky's on the Bugatti luggage, so shout out there. I actually have them on my podcast. That'll be coming out very soon. So, you know, the claimables that way. Behind me, you know, the spotty Wi-Fi records. I mean, that's the other thing too. I think the music NFTs have really positioned themselves to have a really strong 2023 run, because when all volume was down towards Q4 of 2022, music NFT volume was not down. So whether you're talking about the Sammy Ariagas, you know, it's Spotty. Spotty's done some songs with some big names, as a lot of us know. Violetta's out there. She's selling out. Ray Isla, she's another female musician. I'm really bullish on what music NFTs do, because not only can you play a song, which obviously everyone out there expects to be able to do, but there's claimable items. And then based on certain traits, there's other claimable items. And what I really love, and I'll stop at this because I could talk about music NFTs all day, is that they see through the blockchain their biggest holders. So if you live in, say, Des Moines, Iowa, USA, they may actually put their tour through your town instead of, you know, some other big city that they would have gone through, to thank you as being like a holder or a whale or whatever you want to call it. So to me, that's incredibly exciting. And then, of course, it's interesting to see what companies are going to continue to do. Starbucks is doing, you know, a lot of great things with their Odyssey journey. I think that we're going to see a lot of those companies using Polygon to jump into Web3. I'm really, really, really bullish on the idea of a ticketing system. I know people have toyed with it. There's a company out there called Relic that I think could do some really creative things, where I think your ticket is saved as an NFT or something after you use it. So there's a lot of really amazing things. And I just think, to me, it goes far beyond just the picture of the JPEG, unless, of course, you're an art collector. And shout out to all the artists out there working so hard on everything.
Absolutely. I heard, I can't remember if it was Randy Zuckerberg or Debbie Soon of The Hug. I was on a space with them earlier today, talking about how 2023 is really going to be the year of the one-of-one artists. So we'll see if their prediction comes true. But I think that is definitely something we can anticipate.
I'm a huge one-of-one art supporter for sure. So that could be its own episode if you want.
Yeah. And the music stuff, I'm with you, Travi. I think that that's going to be so important when we look back in 10 years and looking at this space. I think music is going to be driving force. But let's talk about some of the stuff you're working on before I have to let you go. I know you've got your first NFT brand, The Journey, in pre-mint. You know, audience, not financial advice, your own research, etc. But I think that it's important when we meet people like Travi, who've kind of gone through their journeys in this space and have decided to, you know, put their money where their mouths are, like, and really start doing the work and working on things that are important to them. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you're working on with The Journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I'll share it with you to tell everybody out there what I'm working on, but I'm not here to sell it. You know, it's not a public mint. It's a closed mint. And, you know, people could certainly reach out and sign up if they would like to do that. That's mainly because, it is a small, community of, so far really passionate people in this space. There's a lot of, you know, NFT project founders, a lot of one-of-one artists, musicians, some of the names that we've talked about, people who are holders of The Journey. And what I don't want is for the entire thing to get botted and, you know, just do a quick sellout or something like that, or not even, you know, worry about that. Just really, if you want to get down for the causes that I'm about to talk about, then we'd love to have you, of course. You know, to me, it's not a degen play. It's not one of those things where you're gonna come in and you know, see a whole lot of volume, because to me, it is a membership club in a way, because all the things I talked about that I'm bullish on are things that I'm going to be rewarding people with. So right now, I think there's only one listed. It's at like 2 ETH or something, but it's been really amazing so far. It's been through DMs, a couple kind of, if you know, you know, types of Twitter spaces, but the whole point of it is this. There's two overarching missions, and this is what I care about. And this is why I figured take a little bit of a pause from the full-time teaching gig and see if I could really do good for the kids by doing something on a blockchain. So the first overarching mission is that we're creating a grant fund for kids whose music, art, STEM, and theater programs are being defunded in their public schools. And as someone who worked in public schools for those years and seeing so many things get defunded, even before the pandemic, even before a lot of the defunding, I saw what it was like to have to pull money from your own pocket that maybe you didn't have. I was lucky if I got a grant, I'd write a grant. It would take, quite some time, put in this grant proposal and hopefully get a few $100 or $1,000 to try to get some supplies or do an after school program. And what I know how those grant programs work. So I wanted to put some in play. So we're going to be doing them for various drops. And then there's other things I can't say yet, but it's a little bit farther down the road that the grant programs actually play into some of the next things that we will be getting into. But it's incredibly exciting to me because, again, power of the blockchain, it allows the wallets to be split. So, of course, people can, I'll be putting more into that. And of course, people will be able to do the donation side if they wanted to do it that way as well. But from every single mint, a portion goes directly into the separate wallet. So I never touch it. The team never touches it. It's just sitting there in its own one wallet. So I can always add to it, but I won't take out of it unless, of course, it's going to where it needs to go. And it's called The Journey because, to show these kids, listen, get on the right steps to start your journey, whether it's through art, music, science, or theater programs. And you know what? Maybe one day you will be selling your work on the blockchain like these people right now, these artists and musicians. So that's why a portion of every single sale goes directly into another wallet, which is an artist support fund. And so we've supported upwards of 40 something different artists so far. That's editions, a couple PFPs, but mainly like the editions and one of ones, like the artists really trying to make a living doing this. And also, of course, music NFTs. So to me, and my heart is with the kids. My heart is with these grant funds that we're doing. But what's fun is that we linked up with some artists. We're going to be doing some more character drops. It's the first character, as you mentioned, is called the Alpha, which of course is it's a nod to what we're doing here in Web3 anyway. He's got some really cool OG traits. He's got some OG sneakers and some clothing and jewelry and that kind of stuff. He got to drip the first guy out a little bit. But it's going to be a storyline. So as he goes through his story, he's going to be meeting other characters along the way. And those characters, the community will vote on whether they're good or bad, people in his life. And eventually, I don't want to give too much away, but every single character, it corresponds with a different utility as well. So, and it's not just a one-time utility either, but character drop one for the Alpha, we've got certain partners who are going to be doing things to reward our holders who purchase the Alpha character. So we've got a apparel partner called DGen Brand Clothing. We've got a shoe line where she's doing custom sneakers for us, Air Force Ones. We're working with a high quality glasswares company, so the holders are going to be getting a lot of that stuff straight from that company. He's actually in a mentorship with Gary Vee and some of the Vayner folks there. So there's a lot of really fun stuff already planned for what this Alpha character is. But I think what's cool is going to be as this character goes along, what we're going to be seeing in the different characters along the way. So of course, there's fun stuff for the holders, there's claimable things for the holders. But also if you're a holder, you'll be able to come to the hottest party at NFT NYC where the Journey is going to be collaborating with some other really big names. And that's all I can say about that.
Cool. So you're going to be at NFT NYC in April. That's exciting. You'll be speaking, I believe, will. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going to be the theme of your talk? Do you have that nailed down?
Yeah, I'm on the community track. I don't think they tell you for a while if you're on a panel or not. But yeah, it's really about
the fun part.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's really about the philosophy we talked about earlier, right? That the whole like we can all sort of support one another in this space. And that's really what the journey is. The journey is not about me stacking ETH to buy an ape. The journey is about me finding ways to do things that I would want to do in the real world, but using the blockchain to do it and allowing people, an NFT collector, to be really proud of their purchase and know that, their hard-earned money or their hard-earned ETH is going to a place that they can be proud of. So that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about.
I love that. So as we close, where and how can people follow you, everything you're working on, the journey, your podcasts, your Twitter, et cetera? Where's the best place for people to follow all the things and to know about this mega party that you've got going on? How can they learn about that when the details are available?
So I think in our world, the best way is Twitter. You can do @ Mr. Travis, though, @ MrTravisTho. I can, of course, put my link tree for you. It's got all the fun stuff in there. And we actually partnered with an artist house, speaking of the 101 artist, called Disco Studio. So we're actually stationed in the Disco Studio's Discord, and they've got a whole little station for us. So it's great because you've got amazing 101 artists, amazing 101 artists, amazing 101 artists, and the Journey is stationed in there as well. So we're the first, if you want to call us NFTs for Good type of thing that's in there. We're incredibly humbled for that. And I do have to say this before we close out. No, I really want to say, you know, again, I know I'm not here to sell the Journey specifically, but I am so proud of everybody out there who's a Journey holder or has asked me anything about it, because, you know, the advisory group that I have and the partnerships that we have to start this, the Journey NFT, is something that in a million years I never would have thought. You know, Fanzo is a partner on it. Sally from the Crypto Tech Women is a partner on it. You know, Maddie Lieber, who for the longest time was the COO of Crypto Chicks, formerly Facebook, Google, Meta. You know, she's an advisor on the project, and there's, you know, a handful more who are, you know, working so hard with me. And honestly, if it wasn't for them and people like you coming on my podcast at the very beginning days, who knows if I'd still be standing here in Web3 right now. So everybody out there, and especially you, Ashley, I want to just say, you know, thank you. You know, because of you, I'm still standing here in 2023.
That's so sweet. I think we're all just standing here because we still got each other, man. It's been a fun year, but a crazy year. And I think it's the passion that people are bringing to the space, like what you're working on, and just enthusiasm about, you know, continuing onward, learning about the possibilities. That's why many of us are sticking it out and committing our lives to the work that we're doing. So thank you so much, Travi. I think you're wonderful. You know, we are a small community still in this Web3 space, so we have no fear of saying, hey, go check out Travi's podcasts. There's room for all of us, that's for sure. So you do definitely want to check out Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. And also, now that he's a co-host on NFT 365 with Fanzo, that's so cool that you're now doing that. I'm going to have to tune in. I'm a fan of both shows. So everyone, please make sure to subscribe. And I'm going to also show us, please make sure to subscribe to From the Blockchain as well, and review. We will make sure to link your links in the show notes, Travi, so people can find information about you, your link tree, the Journey, everything, so people can follow what you're working on. I hope to see you at NFT NYC. I'm still finalizing my travel commitments for the year, given my I'm a baby mama now, so just figuring out what I can make happen. Travi, I'm going to let you go because you got to get to your thing. Thank you so much for joining us, telling your story on From the Blockchain. Thank you for joining us on From the Blockchain. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions about today's episode, please send us a message so we can answer it. If you want to learn more about Fame Lady Squad or how you can get involved with NFTs, please visit our website or join our growing community on Discord. We genuinely believe we couldn't do the things that we do without the support of our community and listeners like you. So thank you so much. We'll see you again soon.